Hello. This is November 29th, and I'm Leonard. And today I'm reviewing Eugenio's Four Cheese Frozen Pizza. That's $5.99 at Kroger's. I've tried it before, and we'll see. Cheese is good. Sausage is good, too. That's definitely a buy. Eugenio's Four Cheese Frozen Pizza. A buy. See you next time.
Welcome to episode 13 of the Tools of Ignorance podcast. I am Hudson Belinsky. Joining me, as always, Jonah Bierenbaum. Jonah, how are you today?
Good, man. Went to the dentist this morning, so now my mouth is immaculate, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah. So today's show, it's Friday around 1:55 Eastern time. We're going to talk about the Chicago Cubs, but before we do that, I think we should remind our listeners where they can email us, Jonah, and where can they do that?
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you can find us at toolsofignorance11@gmail.com. Still just our inbox is getting inundated with a heck of a ton of spam, so please, send us something that we're actually going to be excited to read.
Not that I'm not excited to read about Viagra and things of that nature.
Other male enhancements.
Yeah, not that I need them.
Of course not. We spoke to your virility last episode.
Yeah, it was the title of the episode. Also, you can follow Jonah on Twitter at Jonah8264, and you can follow myself at Hudson Belinsky, one word. So, Jonah, let's hop right into it then. The Chicago Cubs are not a very good team. They were not a very good team either last season. And they made a couple of moves, but what are your general impressions of their offseason?
I think that for the most part, they inked a bunch of stopgaps will help them ease the pain over what's going to be a couple of rough seasons for them going forwards. But they also picked up Edwin Jackson, who, based on the contract that they gave him, figures to be a central piece of their rotation going forward. They gave him a four-year deal for $52 million. He's going to be in their rotation through 2016. So, I think that they took advantage of the market in the sense that they signed a guy that they could, and they have financial flexibility, and they perhaps maybe overpaid a little bit for Jackson. In an effort to lure him to a team that is not on the verge of contention. But for the most part, they have a rich farm system. They have a lot of exciting prospects with loud tools, guys like Almora, Solar, Vizcaino, to name a few. And, I think that right now, much like the Houston Astros, it's going to be a rough few years over the next couple seasons. But again, a team with a bountiful system and a bright future ahead.
Yeah, I think that they're a team that could be scary in a couple of years because I would be relatively confident in their process and the fact that they play in such a huge market. The future probably should be bright. Eventually, they'll stop paying Alfonso Soriano. But, they kind of do have some of the same things going on where there are tradable pieces there in 2013. This team, you could see them kind of, they're definitely a better team than the Astros. I'm not sure how much better or if it'll even mean anything, but they're a team that you could see winning somewhere 65, 70 games. Not good by any means, but maybe not the worst team ever. And then, they might be able to cash in on some of the guys that are currently on the roster. If they eat a bunch of money, they could be able to move Alfonso Soriano. The rotation is kind of okay. They brought in Edwin Jackson. I didn't really agree with that move, but I can see the merit. And it is a large market team, so, and a team that does well in attendance kind of regardless of whether they're winning or not. It makes sense to give the fans that, and say, okay, well, we're going to have a formidable rotation or a non-laughable rotation. But I think it's going to be another rough year overall. But, we will see guys guys come up and get chances to fail. Rizzo, the first baseman, is a guy who could be the guy all year this year there, and yeah, he did perform very well at times last season. And then you'll get to see the outfielder Brett Jackson will have a larger sample probably. I would estimate that we'll get to see him tested. He might be more of a fourth outfielder type, but if he proves that he can hit a little bit, he might be a very fun guy to watch. Josh Vitters, their top pick from a couple years back, should get some opportunity at third base this year. He's a guy who hasn't really lived up to his once very lofty prospect status, but he's a guy when you watch him swing a bat, it's just gorgeous. And he's a guy who I could see kind of fulfilling his prospect status a little bit later, as he refines his approach and as he gets better at handling off-speed stuff. But there are some bright spots there. Starlin Castro, obviously one of the more exciting young players in the game at shortstop. It's not going to be a good team, but there are bright spots and there are things that you can look at and say, okay, well, it's not that bad.
I think the important thing that distinguishes them from a team like the Astros is that when you look at their lineup, it at least in some way approximates a major league lineup. You look at the names 1 through 9, and there's guys like Rizzo and Soriano and Starlin Castro. And then in their rotation, they have Garza, Samardzija, and Jackson. That's actually a fairly respectable 1 through 3. Obviously, they don't have a true ace, but Garza, if he can stay healthy, obviously last season he missed quite a bit of time, and now I think he's dealing with a lat problem. But if he can stay healthy, I mean, he's a respectable starting pitcher. He's had a sub-4 ERA every year of his career, except for his rookie season. Samardzija was sensational last year in his first season as a starter. I mean, there's a discrepancy between Brooks Baseball and PitchFX as to what he did, but they both agreed that he incorporated a new type of moving fastball, whether you want to characterize it as a cutter or a splitter, into his repertoire, and he saw a whole heck of success. And obviously central to that was he cut down on his walk rates, and he also happened to see his K rate go up. So, I mean, Samardzija, per Fangraphs last year, was a 3.3 win pitcher, and he was fantastic. He saw a spike in his ground ball rate that was the highest mark of his career outside of his 27.2 thirds of an inning sample from his rookie year. They brought in a guy like Edwin Jackson, who's a respectable 3. You know what you get with him. He can be erratic at times. Sometimes he looks brilliant. Sometimes he can really struggle. But he'll have presumably a high 3, maybe low 4 ERA. So 1 through 3 there is actually, there's something there. It's not, when you look at a rotation like that of the Astros, it's not necessarily as much of a instant write-off. And we're speaking about the prospects, and, they might be a few years away, but like you said, Brett Jackson saw major league time last year. I think that some people perhaps became a little bit disillusioned with his performance, but again, like you said, a small sample, and he'll probably get some time at the major league level to work through that this year. Obviously, he only hit like .175 last in like 44 big league games, but there's a lot of talent down deep in the system, and like you said, they're not going to be burdened with Soriano's contract beyond 2014, and he could represent a trade ship if they're prepared to eat some money. And I mean, you look at the financial commitments that they have beyond this year, there aren't really that many, and the guys that they have committed to, you have a reasonable expectation that they're going to be prominent pieces of their future, and they're going to perform. Guys like Starlin Castro, and of course, Soler, of course, is inked up for a whole bunch of years. So I think that Cubs fans have a lot more reasons for optimism. And like we were discussing yesterday with the Astros, for Houston to be competitive in a few seasons, a lot of things have to go right in terms of player development. And I think that with the Cubs, you're seeing that there's a little bit more of a sustainable infrastructure already in place, that they don't need perhaps as many things to be slam dunks as the Astros.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Another high upside guy in the system is Javier Baez, their first round pick from 2012, a guy who I really, really like. I've gotten really good reports on him. Tremendous bat speed, good power, could stick at third base. So he's kind of, the sky's the limit with him. I would agree with the general point that there are more things that are kind of in place already. and you have those talents at the big league level right now, that, you know, nothing is a sure thing in baseball, but that are closer to sure things. Like, I think we can be pretty confident that Anthony Rizzo is going to hit, and that he's going to be an above average major league first baseman, and Starlin Castro's going to hit, and he's going to be a really good hitter for a shortstop, and maybe not the best defensive shortstop in the game, but yeah, a guy who's nonetheless an up-the-middle player with high upside offensively every year. And so, you know, they have guys who are impact talents that are there right now. And, you know, maybe this team is good in 3 or 4 years, and those guys are still at the crux of what's going on. Those will be guys who are going to be in their peak years. And so I guess the team might be more optimistic than we are, and maybe that's how you justify signing Edwin Jackson for 4 years. But you know, it's definitely a better situation. And I think, you know, there's definitely room for optimism, I think.
And I mean, one of the luxuries they have is that despite their poor performance on the field last year, they still did really, really well in terms of attendance. Mm-hmm. They were ninth overall in major league attendance, and they have a ton of financial flexibility. And I think they looked at this year's free agent market and they saw names like Josh Hamilton and perhaps recognized that where he is in his career doesn't really fit with the window they've identified to compete in. And so they opted to, you know, let him go and let some of the perhaps bigger names go and ink a guy like Edwin Jackson, who perhaps fits their time frame a little bit more. And, you know, with the financial flexibility that they have, they can look at the free agent market at the end of this season, at the end of next season, look at how their players have developed internally and the progress they've made, and perhaps at that point assess whether or not it's worth it to go and add a piece. And that's one of the luxuries they're afforded by having, you know, pretty loose payroll parameters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had this thought earlier in the offseason, and I guess it still applies, but I thought that they should go out and sign a Michael Bourne or a Kyle Loesch, and so they could still do that, because they won't have to forfeit a top 10 pick. They'll forfeit like a second rounder, they don't have a competitive balance pick, so no, they would forfeit a second round pick, which kind of is a late first rounder. But you know, they could do that with the assumption that they'd be able to sign this player to a short term deal, maybe a year or two, and then flip said player. So if they did that with Loesch, say they signed Loesch for a 1 year contract, it would be kind of a big gamble, but you can then possibly turn him around and trade him for a prospect that is better than what you might get in the second round of next year's draft. You know what I'm saying? So I think that would be an interesting strategy for them to employ, to kind of add a talent that way. And you know, also, there's more certainty in guys who are already in minor league systems. You can be more sure of what they're doing and what they're likely to do, because there's definitely more scouting data on pro players. And I would estimate that most pro scouting departments do a better job than most amateur scouting departments, because amateur scouting is, in my opinion, more difficult. I shouldn't say more difficult. It's just you're trying to project futures that are so much farther ahead. And so if you can kind of trade for a prospect that's closer, or you've seen much more data on, then you might want to do that rather than risk going into the draft and having to take a guy and then, you know, pay that guy a couple $1 million too sometimes. So that would be an interesting strategy, I think.
Yeah, it absolutely would be. And I don't think it's beyond them to perhaps try to do that for a guy like Kyle Loesch, who remains unsigned. But even like with a guy like Garza, I mean, around the trade deadline last year, the rumors always begin to circulate with Garza. And we were led to believe that he was being shopped fairly aggressively, until, of course, that injury struck him at probably the least opportune time for the Chicago Cubs, and his trade value dwindled somewhat. But I wouldn't, again, be surprised to see them try to move someone like Garza to a contender at the deadline who needs pitching help, provided that he stays healthy. I mean, I think that he represents a pretty viable trade chip. And there are other ones as well. I mean, you know, they picked up Carlos Villanueva to ostensibly fill a middle relief role, but you know, he could slot into that fifth or maybe even fourth rotation spot should Scott Feldman or Travis Wood struggle. We saw he's done that over the past couple seasons for the Toronto Blue Jays, coming in and doing pretty well. I don't think he has built up the stamina yet to sustain a full 32-start workload, but he's proven that he can be a respectable spot starter, perhaps even start 20 games a year. And I think that that can bolster his trade value as well, and he could represent a decent trade chip at the deadline should he find his way into the rotation and have success. So I think that there are options there, perhaps not going to command the package that you would want or highlighted by the sexy prospect names that you would want, but you know, they can trade established major leaguers that they have and turn it into value at the deadline, and perhaps that's something that the Houston Astros don't really have a wealth of at this point.
Yeah, and I think that it'll be, you know, it's clear that this is, again, a rebuilding year, but this isn't a team that I think is going to be embarrassed early on, and I think we've established that. So, Jonah, do you have any parting thoughts on the Cubs?
Look for Scott Baker to be a decent candidate for a bounce-back season in Chicago. Obviously, he missed last season with Tommy John surgery, but when he was healthy pitching with the Twins, you know, he always put up good strikeout-to-walk ratios on account of you know, his ability to control the strike zone. He doesn't put a whole lot of guys on base via the free pass, and I think that he could be a decent fourth or fifth starter for the Cubs and could also represent a decent piece at the trade deadline because he's only under contract for one season, and if he has a good first few months of the year, he could command something on the trade market.
Absolutely. All right, Jonah, so I think we're going to transition into the final words of the week as we edge into this weekend, but you will be able to watch spring training baseball online. You will be able to stream that. That's something to look forward to. So I guess on Monday we can preview the next team and maybe even talk about some baseball.
That'd be fun. And I know that this weekend is going to be fun for me because the Blue Jays take on the Tigers tomorrow. And that's going to be broadcast on Rogers Sportsnet, which is the media conglomerate that covers in the Blue Jays. And they also own the team as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting for me.
Yeah. All right. So again, toolsofignorance11 at Gmail, Twitter, Jonah8264, and at Hudson Bolinski. Jonah, say goodbye.
Goodbye, ladies and germs. And when we come back, whenever we come back, we'll leave you in suspense. We are going to be talking about the Colorado Rockies.
If we ever come back.
Dun, dun, dun.
Adios.
Don't tell that to Magnitude.
Who's Magnitude?
Yo, 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 yo! Pop, pop,
pop, pop!
When you see the streets, I'm okay.